show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hey, 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 the Cliffo and Gabby podcast for a Tuesday. Yeah, bit of a lighter show today, which is good, because yesterday was thrown out the window with that horrible news about Olivia Newton-John.
It was a heavy, heavy show yesterday.
It was.
My heart's still a little bit heavy. A
lot of tears yesterday, which you did carry into this morning show. That was just when you saw me first thing in the morning.
Yeah, that happens every day.
but we do have coming up today a Nessie Chaser. So for WTF Wednesday, Steve Feltham, for 32 years, has been hunting the Loch Ness Monster.
He is very, very confident that he's going to get answers one of these days.
Plus, post, you know what? Hayley, I hope you put both of these in the podcast today, because two really fun, like, interactive things.
Yeah.
Number one, how far past expiry can you eat dairy foods?
Yeah, I ate yogurt 3 days late, and Cliffo was very concerned for my health.
And also, we put it out there, has anyone stuffed a pet before? Because I want to do that to our cat, Taco, and we got good calls.
Your cat's right? Only young.
Yeah.
And you're already planning for
but
this.
I'm future-proofing life for him, okay? So get that, the Cliffo and Gabby podcast on Listener.
Cliffo and Gabby's WTF Wednesday.
What the f***?
This is where we do really interesting interviews today about the Loch Ness Monster. It's a creature we've all heard about. Does it exist? We don't know. There is a guy who holds the record for hunting the Loch Ness Monster for the longest amount of time, and he joins us right now. How are you, Steve Feltham?
I'm here on the side of Loch Ness, right on the beach, right next to the water. So reporting live for you from the shore.
Oh, I hope we get a sighting.
Can you see Nessie? Or is all quiet this morning?
Not currently, but always optimistic.
So Gabby mentioned it there. You have the Guinness World Record for the longest continuous monster hunting vigil on the Loch. 31 years.
I've just tipped over into 32 years now, I think.
Wow.
So, yeah.
At what point do you
give up? World record in patience I've got, really.
Yeah.
Well, I give up when we solve it. That's my objective. Find out what's in here and then that's it. Mystery solved.
Talk us through this monster hunting mission you've been on for the last 32 years. You did see the Loch Ness Monster once upon a time and now you've tried to solve the mystery. Is that right?
No, not really, no. I came here when I was a seven-year-old boy on a family holiday in 1970. Uh-huh. And there was a gang of volunteer Nessie hunters here then. And seven-year-old boy, seeing grown men looking for dinosaurs in a Scottish loch, you know, it's hard not to find that enticing. Mm. And I just got hooked on the whole possibilities, and the passion for the subject just grew and grew. And I had many more holidays up here where I'd take a tent for 2 weeks and sit on the side of the loch and think, right, 2 weeks, you must be able to solve it in that time. And I just realised in the mid-20s, well, this is what I love doing, being here trying to find the answer to one of the world's greatest mysteries. Why am I going away to earn the money to get back again? Why don't I sell up and set off and see what becomes of a full-time Nessie hunter?
It's hard not to respect that. It's hard not to just go.
I love the passion.
This is what makes me happy, so it's what I want to do. Like, no one can. Well, I can't shake my head at that. I bet you have had people who do, though. Are there people who shake their head at you and go, Steve, you're a crazy man. Give up. What are you doing?
I just laugh. I mean, I know in my heart that I'm doing the utterly most enjoyable thing I could possibly do with my life, decade after decade. And when occasionally people look at that and they say, why is he wasting his life? I just think, well, you've got no idea of I'm the rarest of things. I'm a free and happy man. Mm. You know, I earn a small living by making a little Nessie souvenir sat on a stone and tourists come by and pay a few of those. I live in a converted mobile library van on the beach with the best view of Loch Ness you can possibly get. And that's utopia to me. That's just self-sufficiently trying to solve this classic mystery.
So, good on you. Yeah. That does sound like the ideal lifestyle. Yeah. Like, it doesn't sound bad at all. Has there been any sightings?
Yeah. In the first year, I arrived full-time in 1991. And in the first year, on one occasion, I was sat on the side of the loch at Fort Augustus. And something just shot through the water briefly, just for 5 or 10 seconds, like a torpedo. Or you couldn't see the object, but you could see the spray of water off the back of it. Almost like a jet ski going through past you, but without the jet ski at the front of it.
Oh.
And, you know, that sort of defied explanation to me, but I just, being a novice at the time, just froze and pointed at it for 5 seconds. Then it was gone. And I thought, well, year one, I've had this brief sighting. Shouldn't be long before I get the second glimpse of these things, and I'll photograph that. And here I stand on the beach now, still waiting for that second glimpse.
Steve, what do you think Nessie actually is? Is Nessie some sort of dinosaur creature, like you said? Is Nessie a whale penis? That's the another rumour that's been going around. Or is Nessie just an unidentified species that we don't know?
Well, when I arrived here full-time, I was looking for long-necked dinosaurs, plesiosaurs. And unfortunately, I can rule, after 31 years, what I can do is rule plesiosaurs out of the possibilities. I can also rule whale penises out. Okay. And I can rule most possibilities out. It comes down to me, the front runners are things like whale's catfish, which are second biggest freshwater fish in the world. And whatever they are, we don't know. We know there's something massive in here. What it turns out to be, that's why it's still a mystery. We haven't identified what it is, just that it's in here.
Interesting.
Wow. We've always said on this show, Gabby, like, you've got to have a passion in life, don't you?
Yep.
And
passion,
Steve,
and purpose.
You've found yours, and you're a happy guy doing it. I know you say you meet hundreds of people every day doing what you do. You're anything but a hermit. Yeah. You met your partner doing what you do, and, yeah, you clearly got a real passion for it. So, Steve Feltham.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the unpredictability. It's the hunt. It's the pursuit of these animals, and it's the... You know, tomorrow I don't know if somebody's going to turn up and say, here, look at this bit of video. I've just solved the mystery for you. And, you know, that'd be a good day.
What would you do then?
I think I'd become an international monster hunter and go and find... I might go and help Tim the Yowie man find Yowies in Australia.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Find a Yowie. Yeah. That'd solve a mystery down here. Steve Feltham, the Guinness World Record holder for the longest continuous monster hunting vigil, searching for that Loch Ness monster. I hope you find Nessie one day, Steve. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for your time.
If anybody wants to learn more about me, nessiehunter.co.uk. You'll find all the answers there.
Check it
Wonderful.
Out. Thanks, Steve.
Cliffo and Gabby's Food Dudes Debate.
This Food Dudes Debate came about pretty organically in the office, and we put a poll up on Instagram, which has not given us the results we need to settle the argument, so we're bringing it to the show.
At Cliffo and Gabby, if you want to be no help to us in future on Facebook and Instagram, because it really was not helpful at all, poll.
Hayley, what was the poll?
So 51% said it was okay and you're allowed to.
Well, we haven't said what it is yet. Just a stat.
It was 51% against 49%.
So it was equal, even Stevens. But the debate we were having was in regards to one of my yogurts I had in the work fridge that I wanted to pull out for breakfast.
Yep.
And it was 3 days past its use by date. 3 days! Nothing. So I got you into the video with me, Cliffo, to see what you thought about this particular use-by date. And then I went to eat the yogurt. I ate the whole thing.
I was particularly, more disgusted with you than I usually am.
The disgust level went up a few notches.
Rock solid when it comes to use-by dates because they're different. They're different to best-before dates.
Right.
Before dates, there's a bit of ambiguity there.
Yeah, true.
Best before dates are like a rule, my friend. That is a cut-off period.
Especially because dairy is the one that has like the use by. Like you've got to use it by this date.
That's the big one.
Because they don't want you to sue them if you eat it past that. Yeah. Like they make it very clear that there is a date where they are no longer responsible for your health.
I think dairy and meat are the big ones for me.
But yeah, meat I maybe would agree with. Dairy, though, you can tell if it's off. you know.
Yeah, you can tell
you if
it's
give off
it a sniff. It's past the date.
You give it a sniff.
Nah.
You give it a little taste test. And you make sure it's not lumpy. And if all those three things are good, 3 days. What's 3 days? You can eat it.
It's
no wastage here.
Famously said the dead woman.
So put that on the gravestone.
It's like, okay, if you, for me, this is how use by dates work with dairy, with all use by date things.
Mm.
Different to best before. Like I say, best before, like on a packet of chips, that's not going to kill you. Like if it's the Walking Dead or whatever, and they're not
and
producing chips anymore. Yeah, it's a bit past the best before.
Yeah.
I would happily eat that. But when it comes to use by dates, for me, like to make it really easy, what I'll say is at 11:59 p.m., the day before the use by date.
The day before.
It goes, yeah, so like, and I'm just saying 11:59 p.m., so there's no.
So the date on the milk carton, you won't drink it on that day.
No. I will drink it on that day up until 11:59 p.m.
Gotcha.
So, okay, to make it easier, let's just say 1 minute past 12 a.m.
1 minute past that use by date.
I'll give you a 60 second leeway. But 1 minute past midnight on the used by date, you do not use that product. The bottle says so. That's the rule.
You're terrible with this, with the milk in the work fridge as
Won't
well.
Do it.
Like, you will leave it and open a new one, even if it's half full and still good.
I've tipped out milk before past the used by date.
What a waster.
And people are like, what did you do that for? And I said, because I love you. And I don't want you to die.
Where do you sit on this debate on 131060? We need to settle it. Instagram is no help. We need you to put this to bed.
Yeah.
Can you eat or drink dairy a couple of days after the use by date if it still smells good?
And give us a time.
Yeah, we need range.
How far past?
Yeah, like I was going 3 days. 3 days I think was fine.
131060, can you eat dairy products after the use by date?
Mm.
And that's the important thing. This is not a yes or no kind of debate. That's what it was on
you
Instagram
say,
and that went absolutely nowhere.
So you I guess, say 60 seconds, I say 3 days.
Yeah, bit of a discrepancy there. How far past the expiry date can you eat dairy food? 131060, give us a call. Instagram was no help, so hopefully actual people will be able to get to the bottom of this.
The robots didn't
the
help
robots
us.
The robots didn't help us.
The users we've bought.
It's over to you people. 131060. Give us a call. Food Dudes Debate on here. Jeff on 131060, how far is it for you, mate?
Anywhere up to a week or two?
No.
But you seem like a bit of an expert on the matter here, Jeff.
I'm talking here specifically yogurt.
Specifically yogurt. Tell us what you know.
Well, there's a yogurt business here in town.
Yeah.
And the yogurt that is used has about a 4 week best before date. And then the yogurt's then packaged and it has 18 days. So there's, there's a week and a half.
So they give a bit of leeway to the expiry date so that there's, a bit of wiggle room. There's wiggle room.
I will say, though, like, we're a commercial radio station with a legal department. And, like, we just can't be putting Jeff's word out there as religion. Do you know what I mean? Like,
have you not tried our yoga?
Jeff, no.
There's a lot of wiggle room.
I'm not dissing your yoga, Jeff. I'm sure it's amazing.
He's dissing the legalities around the expiry date.
Legally? Some guy named Jeff, like what he says, is not going to stand up in court when someone dies eating out of that yogurt. Chris is here. Chris, how far past an expiry date can you eat dairy food?
Well, milk, I'd probably only go a couple of days, so I'd still agree with Gabby.
Yeah.
But yogurt is actually better for you after the due by date.
Oh,
because,
really?
all the good bacteria is multiplying, right?
So what happens is, see, I'm lactose free, so the good bacteria has eaten all the lactose by the use by date. So therefore, from that date, the good bacteria is starting to die because there's no lactose left.
All right, Chris. There's a lot of armchair experts, isn't there, calling through. Are you feeling the same thing?
I feel like Chris was wearing a white lab coat.
Yeah. Brendan, how far past the expiry will you eat dairy?
Oh, mate, I've got to go with Gab on this one, Cliffo. I've done 5 days, 6 days with yogurt. I've just cracked a bottle of milk this morning. That's probably 3 days. And why waste it? It's nothing wrong with it.
All right.
Exactly, Brendan. We're not about food wastage here.
Ronnie works.
We are the food dudes.
Ronnie works for Paul's Milk.
Oh, now this is an expert.
Ronnie, what do you do? Well, let's bandy around the word expert. What do you do at Paul's Milk, Ronnie?
Hey, mate, I drive the truck and drop it off to your shops.
Oh, expert. You're right,
okay,
Gabby.
All right, it's not in the lab. But that's okay. I'm sure you're a guy in the know. How past the expiry date do you have dairy?
Well, the shops won't accept it after it's expired.
No.
But I reckon give it 2 or 3 days and give it a stiff test.
I reckon.
All right, that's
sounds
good
to
me.
That's
the word from Ronnie the truck driver, everyone. You know. And Block's back. Join
the
Block.
Start with the couple just walking out in the middle of the night and another couple coming in to replace them.
It's good too. They've gone to the country, so they're renovating these big houses, biggest houses ever on the block.
Huge land packages.
On 10 acre blocks. Oh my God, that'd be so good to have.
A dream.
Yeah. Like a holiday home. That's what Scotty Cam's doing. He's building a holiday home as part of it as well too. And we had Shelley Craft on the show. She's like a co-host. Comes in around judging time or whatever.
She comes in and gives
block.
An opinion and leaves. Like, she's got the best job in the
world.
It's
a pretty good job. She flies in for it, leaves her beautiful house in Byron Bay, flies in, gives an opinion, then buggers off back home. But the other day we had her on the show and she was telling us about Scotty Cam's new dog, Frankie.
He loves the country. He's loved the idea of being able to have his dog, Frankie, with him the whole time this series, because normally he has to leave her behind in Sydney.
And the interesting thing, if you've followed Scott Cam on TV over the years, you'd know he's had multiple dogs.
He has.
So years ago, when he was on Backyard Blitz with Jamie Jury, there used to be a dog named Lizzie.
Okay.
Lizzie died. Okay. Then he had Rosie. And Rosie we've seen in Bits and Bobs on, because he's been on TV for a long time.
And the block's into his 18th season.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah, probably at the start of that.
He's been around for nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
So then we saw Rosie. Rosie died about 2 years ago.
Oh.
And now he's got Frankie. So he's up to dog number 3 that we know of since he's been on TV. The interesting thing with Scott Cam's dogs is when they die, he gets them stuffed.
Yes.
Like full taxidermied. So
they
get stuffed and then they have to put pretend eyes in.
Mm.
So they always look a bit creepy, like taxidermied animals in their eyes.
Like, I get the love for a dog is eternal, but...
Yeah, well, it is for Scotty Cam.
It's a lot.
He surprised Carl and Ali on the Today Show recently when he appeared for like doing a live cross with Lizzie, dog number 2. Lizzie was dog number 1. So he appeared on the Today Show with Rosie, which is dog number 2,
who's recently passed.
Recently passed, but very much still with him during the live cross.
Scotty Cam, good morning.
Whoa. Good morning, Carl and Ali.
That's not Rosie, is it?
That's Rosie. Oh. Good girl.
I thought you should leave sleeping dogs alive.
Well, she's a fantastic dog.
Did not make a noise the whole cross.
To be fair, it does look very realistic. Like they've done a good job.
So this has got me thinking, and I said this on Sunday night when the block started. I said to my wife, Michelle, I want to do this to Taco the cat when he passes away. Now, Taco is about 6 years old.
So he's still got a very good life to live.
He's got a good life to live, and he's very much my cat. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Best time of the day for him is when I get home from work a bit after lunchtime. Then him and I just chill before the kids get home, and I'll have a nap, and often he sleeps on my feet and stuff.
Yeah.
He's my cat.
You've got a good bond.
Got a very good bond with Taco, and I never want to say goodbye to him. So I'm dead set serious. I want to do a Scotty Cam. When the very, very sad day comes, I want to get Taco stuffed so he can be with us forever.
What was your wife's reaction?
She is absolutely 100% dead against the idea.
I'm not surprised.
And then I managed to chat her around after 3 days of talking about it. I managed to chat her around yesterday to her agreeing to let me get Taco stuffed.
But
I
felt a but.
I'm not allowed to, like the kids are A, never allowed to see him. And B, I have to keep him, like, out of sight.
So where would you keep him for the kids to not ever see him?
Well, I want to put him right... I even picked a space out. Like, I reckon there's a good space between the living room and the dining room.
The kids would see him there, though.
Yeah. But what I want to do is be able to pat and leave, like, pat him every morning on the way out on the way to work. And just, hey,
maybe
buddy.
Maybe you should just have him at work.
Bring him to work.
Actually, why did I say that?
13-10-60.
Because then I'd have to see him.
Has anyone done it? Is there anyone listening that has legit stuffed a pet? There's got to be people out there.
Is there? Is there anyone out there?
Scotty does it. And I, mate, I'm dead serious. And I don't get the hesitation. I think it's a great idea.
I know there's taxidermy people out there, like people who specialise in this. But I thought it was more for stuffed cane toads that you sell as a joke. Or
yeah, you see, you've bought them before.
On walls of people hunting, which you've, I'm not them a fan of.
You're on board.
But that's not a pet. It's meant to be funny.
131060, give us a call. Is there anyone listening across Queensland who has stuffed a pet?
And what have you done? Like, where have you put them?
Cat, dog. I've heard of it happening to birds.
Oh, yeah.
Snakes. And like reptile people will often get them taxidermy.
Oh, yeah.
But 131060, lines are clear. Has anyone stuffed a pet?
Yeah.
Because Taco, when the day comes, brother.
Oh, that poor boy.
Nah.
He's sitting there going, I know what my future holds.
Yeah. I'm going to be with daddy forever, together forever. 131060, if you've stuffed a pet, on here. Kirk first up. Kirk, have you done this? Have you stuffed a pet?
Not me personally, but my girlfriend does it for a job.
No way.
Your girlfriend's a taxidermist.
Yeah, so my girlfriend's a taxidermist as her job.
Yeah.
She gets,
apparently it's a real dead-end job.
Oh, God.
Oh, dad joke.
Dad joke. But she gets a lot of pets coming through, Kirk?
Yeah, so she gets cats and dogs pretty often.
Yeah.
It's pretty normal.
What's the weirdest pet she's had to stuff for a client?
So recently she got a lady rock up to work and she had a little thing called Barry.
Yeah, was Barry?
Barry was a nice little pet rat.
Oh, I've got to stuff Barry the rat.
I loved rats as pets when I was a kid, so yeah. I'm not even mad about
stuffed
that.
Should have stuffed them. Right on here. Thanks, Kirk. 131060, Kayla's here. Kayla, have you stuffed a pet?
Oh, it wasn't myself. It was a family friend, actually.
And what was it that they stuffed?
It was actually an eagle. So he travelled a lot.
Yeah.
And he accidentally hit an eagle and he felt bad.
Oh.
So he got it taxidermied and now he's passed it down to us. And it sits in my mum's living room.
You feel
so
bad because you hit a bird on the highway, so you keep it.
Old mate kills an eagle and he's like,
I know.
He's like, I can't let this go to waste. So he gets it stuffed. And then what? Then he hands it down to you, did you say? Now your mum's got to put up with it.
Yeah, well, actually, it is beautiful, to be honest. It is, everyone that sees it, it's like, oh my goodness, what is that? What happened?
Wow, what
they're
a story.
They're very majestic birds, aren't they?
And like the wingspan would be like, if the wings are out,
yeah,
it'd be lovely.
All right, Peter's here next. Peter, did you stuff a pet?
Not the entire pet, but yes. I had my cat paws taxidermied and turned into wind chimes.
Hold on.
What?
So just the cat's paws. So there's two cats. So we're talking four paws.
Yeah.
And what do? They cut them off at the shoulder or something?
No. Just a small portion of the paw at the base. So they're about 2-3 inches long.
So you got their
and
paws.
I've capped the tops and they're hanging from strings with the cat's favourite toys and their name tag and stuff. And they're like little wind chimes in the window.
I've seen people do that with rabbits' feet because rabbit feet are meant to be very lucky. I've never seen it with a cat.
No, like
paw.
Cutting the cat's paws off. And ironically, you're named Peter as well too. Which
I don't know if Peter agrees with this.
Usually means something very different. Alpha Bucks. Alpha Bucks is back tomorrow, Thursday the 11th of August. It's worth $1,000 cash.
We have an answer for you, which will help you get closer to the answer. Oh
you
my God, I've lost it.
You can't find it, can you?
I know what it is though. It's octagon.
It is octagon.
Because the drawing was not great.
Look, it was an octagon.
Stuck in my mind.
Producer Hayley draws a little picture every day.
Yeah.
Look, it's an octagon. It's got eight sides.
It
so
does.
We'll give you that, Hayley.
And then in the middle, she wrote eight.
Yeah.
The number.
Thanks
so that
for
we
clarifying
know.
That. Octagon. So O is your letter, and octagon is your free answer for tomorrow's Alpha Bucks on Hit and the Listener app. The Hit Breakfast Show.